Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 27, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone is 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, email address, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And if you don't want the news and all the other things, check out messiahsbranch.com. Also, branch.podomatic.com is actually the main archive that we have. You need to check that out. There's some Google apps over there and so on and so forth. But you really don't need apps. With our websites, you can just, if you have a smartphone, you can just click on it and hear it, download it, whatever your choice may be. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal and email with your return address on it and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you with no solicitation for donations. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Portugal, South Africa, Tehran, Iran, Manila, Philippines, Finland, Melbourne, Australia, and, of course, cities in the good USA like San Jose, California, Omaha, Nebraska, Las Vegas, Nevada, Northport, Alabama, Austin, Texas, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later on tonight. Now, a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. The presidential election in America is roughly, I think, 12 days away, if my math's correct. That's no guarantee. Anyway, we're hearing about massive voter fraud, violence in the streets. In fact, I'm seeing some school districts are talking about closing on Election Day for fear of violence. We're hearing that a vote for Hillary could mean World War III, as this is what the Russian president has said, and they're having massive drills in Russia in preparation. Some say that if Trump wins, the election will be declared invalid, and Hillary will be placed in office. And in the last program we were talking about, we heard that it's possibly the electoral votes, even though they are supposed to vote Republican, could indeed just vote Hillary in. So there's so much going on. And Hillary's own people are saying that she's not right in the head, that she's actually crazy. Well, have you seen the way that very weird smile and laugh that she has? And some of the things that she laughs about, she looks like that she's on drugs. And I don't know, she's really spooky. So tonight we've asked author, bloggist, and talk program host Michael Snyder to come on with us and try to shed some light on these things. He's been on with us before talking about many different things, including places of refuge and his book, The Rapture Verdict. Yeah, I'm talking about Michael T. Snyder. He has several blogs. Two of them are the Economic Collapse blog and The Most Important Thing. So let's get Michael on and let's see if he can shed some light. Welcome, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pastor Dan. Thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, you know, I keep an eye on your blog, of course, and, you know, you post it on Facebook, and if something comes up, you seem to jump right on it and have a pretty good answer about it, like this latest one I just noticed. I'll bring it up right now at the start of the program because there's so much everywhere to go this conversation can go. You wrote one now, apostate evangelicals are poised to becoming the deciding factor in a Hillary Clinton election victory. Does that mean you think Hillary's going to win?
Well, unfortunately, that's what it looks like at this point, Pastor Dan. But Hillary Clinton could not win if all evangelical Christian voters voted against her. The numbers simply are not there. It would be impossible for her to win. If all evangelical Christians that say they believe the Bible, if they all voted against her, she would be defeated. She would be defeated by a lot, in fact. So she has to have a certain percentage of Christian voters in order to win. Unfortunately, there was a survey that was just conducted by Lifeway Research, a Christian research company, and they found that only 45% of Christian evangelicals in America plan to vote for Donald Trump. And 31%, almost a third of Christian evangelicals in the United States, plan to vote for Hillary Clinton, which is absolutely insane. And now, you know, in terms of... go ahead, Pastor Dan.
Well, I just got to say, I'm agreeing with that insane because, you know, Christians are supposed to be, you know, against abortion, and we've heard from her about when a baby could be killed and everything, and so that just doesn't make any sense at all. How can they be Christians?
Oh, it's very true. And, you know, as far as Hillary Clinton is concerned, she's probably the politician that is most associated with Planned Parenthood, with abortion, with the death of more than 58 million babies since Roe versus Wade decided in 1973. The one politician in America probably tied to that and has made that a pillar of her very long political career for decades is Hillary Clinton. And, of course, we saw in the last debate she told the American people that she supports abortion all the way up through all 9 months, all the way up to the end of pregnancy. And so the American people very clearly know, and Christians very clearly know what she stands for, and yet a third of all Christian evangelicals are pledging to support her. In fact, an organization that represents over 6,000 Latino evangelical churches recently just came out and publicly endorsed Hillary Clinton, said we need to vote for Hillary Clinton. On change.org, there's a petition that's signed by 75 prominent evangelical leaders that is strongly denouncing Donald Trump. We've got some other top evangelicals in the Christian world out there that have publicly stated that they're voting for Hillary Clinton. But, you know, Hillary Clinton's hands are literally drenched with the blood of tens of millions of unborn babies. And anyone that votes for her, their hands are going to be drenched with that same blood. And, you know, and Hillary Clinton, of all the candidates that we could have selected this year, and that's why the phrase that keeps coming up in my spirit is America's final exam. And I believe kind of like the Garden of Eden where God said, oh, you can select any tree in the garden, just don't pick this one. Well, I believe a similar test has been set up in this election where, you know, when it started, there were like 17 Republicans running, 5 Democrats, a whole bunch of third-party candidates. And so overall, there were about 25 different candidates running. But the worst and most evil, most wicked one of all that many have compared to Jezebel, personally I compare her to Athaliah. If you know your Bible, you know what a wicked queen she was. But the most wicked one of all, that's the one that America is picking. And if we pick her, I believe that America has failed their final exam and that that will open up the floodgates for judgment.
Okay. Here's another thing on Hillary Clinton. Go with me on this for a moment. It'll take me a second to explain it. Okay, I do fully believe that Herm Obama, well, I know they supplied guns to ISIS. I believe ISIS was an intentional thing. They helped fund it through Saudi Arabia. And so we've seen in the Middle East almost the extermination of all the Christians there. So her hands are drenched in the blood of the Christian martyrs. What do you think about that?
I agree with you 100%, Pastor Dan. In fact, the Obama administration has known, you know, for a very long time that ISIS fighters hop back and forth over the border with Turkey. They're actually treated in Turkish hospitals. And then in the previous program I was on with you quite some time ago, we talked about how ISIS was taking stolen oil and moving it over the border into Turkey and then selling it there, that was being sold to the rest of the world. So ISIS oil was being sold through Turkey, and Obama knew about it, Hillary Clinton knew about it. But they've been supporting these jihadists. They've been supporting the al-Qaeda groups in Syria. They've been supporting ISIS in Syria, and because they wanted to overthrow Assad. Back in 2011, was that Hillary Clinton was still Secretary of State, and she got together with Saudi Arabia and Turkey, and at the time, all over the Middle East, it was the Arab Spring, and they said, hey, all these governments are being overthrown. Let's take this as an opportunity to try to overthrow President Assad in Syria, and we'll take Syria from being an ally of Iran and Hezbollah and take it away from the Shia axis of power and move it into the Sunni axis of power there in the Middle East. And they thought that was a wonderful plan, and so they organized a protest, and soon there were huge protests against President Assad, and they started arming the rebels, and the civil war began, and it's raged now for 5.5 years. And this is what created the huge refugee crisis that Europe is dealing with. The reason millions of Muslims are poured into Europe is because of Hillary Clinton. The reason there is a humanitarian crisis in Aleppo and elsewhere in Syria is because of Hillary Clinton working with Saudi Arabia and Turkey. And now that Russia has come in and Iran and Hezbollah and has helped Assad and has turned the tide of the war and they're winning, well, the Obama administration is desperate to keep the war going over in Syria. They don't want it to end, and they know if Aleppo falls, there's not going to be anywhere for a lot of their jihadist rebels they've been supporting to hide. So they're determined. They want to try to keep Aleppo from falling. And so Hillary Clinton, she says, we need a no-fly zone, and which is absolutely insane. Because as I documented in my recent article, if we go into Syria where we're not invited, we're not welcome, and we try to impose a no-fly zone, well, we've got to enforce that. And to enforce that, we're going to have to shoot down Russian aircraft. And according to National Intelligence Director James Clapper, that could, start shooting between Russian and American forces, could lead to war. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Francis Dunford, says the same thing. He told Congress in testimony before Congress that to impose a no-fly zone in Syria, well, he said, quote, it would require us to go to war against Syria and Russia. So this is what our top, basically the head of our military is saying, hey, if we do this, we're going to go to war with Russia. But Hillary Clinton continues to say, this is my position. If I'm president, I'm going to impose a no-fly zone in Syria. Absolute insanity. And then, of course, Obama, Reuters has reported that Barack Obama, he's got together with his top foreign policy advisors, military officials, and the one option they're strongly considering now is direct military strikes against Syrian government, Syrian military forces. And Russia said if they try to do that, the Russians will shoot down any aircraft that try to bomb Syrian government forces. And so that's a red line for Russia. If Obama's insane enough to cross that, the shooting will begin. We could see that could be the spark that sets off World War III. So it's absolutely crazy, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, any way, shape, or form, Russia right now, and I know you know this, but I'm going to say it again to the people. You know, Russia is literally having massive drills in their country and telling their people to prepare for an inevitable nuclear war if Hillary is elected. That's just craziness. I mean, what are they? What kind of world do you think that they think we're going to have after it's all the smoke cleared, if it ever cleared?
Yeah, I'm extremely concerned because people need to understand Hillary Clinton is a warmonger, and a vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote for World War III, as I said in my article. Because, the Russians are scared to death because, anyone who watched the three debates just saw the animosity that Hillary Clinton has for Russia. She just has a seething hatred for them and an extremely bad relationship. Even now, the Obama administration has an extremely bad relationship with Russia. In fact, Gallup recently took a survey in Russia in terms of the approval rating that the Russian people have for current U.S. leadership. And you know what? It came back, and it was at a 1% approval rating. And the Russians dislike Hillary Clinton even more than they do Obama. And, for example, right. Vladimir Zhirinovsky, one of their top politicians, recently had an interview with Reuters, and he said, yeah, we want Donald Trump to win because if Hillary Clinton is elected, that's probably going to mean that we're going to be facing World War III. And if you look at the Russian media right now, yeah, they're covering the U.S. election, but the number one story that they're focused on over there is potential war between the United States and Russia, potentially going to World War III. And so we've seen all kinds of things over there right now. As you mentioned, they just recently held a civil defense drill involving 40 million people over there. The Russian government recently recalled a lot of top officials, and they said, hey, even if you have to pull your kids out of school in the middle of the year, we need you to come back. We need you to return. There was recently a broadcast on Russian national television in which on the news they told people, you need to go into your local community and find where your local bomb shelter is in case war breaks out with the United States. You need to do that right now. People in Russia are stocking up on food, supplies. I mean, in Russia, prepping is everywhere right now that they're so alarmed about potential war. Meanwhile, our politicians continue to threaten Russia. For example, Vice President Joe Biden recently went on Meet the Press and told Chuck Todd, he said, hey, we're going to send a message to Russia. We're going to do it at the time of our choosing, basically threatening Russia that they're going to send a message. Now, I believe it's probably going to be after the election because they don't want to mess up things for Hillary Clinton. But there was another thing. NBC News came out with an article in which they said that the Obama administration is, quote, contemplating an unprecedented cyber covert action against Russia. And basically said the whole article is about how the CIA is preparing for a cyber warfare against Russia. Now, to me, this is one of the stupidest things we could possibly do because Russia has been preparing for a cyber war against the United States since 2007, and they have much better hackers than we do. And if you're going to do something covert anyway, you don't announce it on NBC News, but this is what they're saying. They're saying, hey, we're going to conduct a cyber attack against Russia, and they could probably do some damage. I don't doubt that. But do we really want to invite the Russians to hack our power grid? Do we want to invite the Russians to hack our banks and our financial system? I believe that the Russians have the capability to take down our entire internet. Do we really want that to happen? I mean, that would crash our economy, if they just did that alone. So we keep poking the bear. And I think that's a very, very foolish thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A massive loss of life. But you know what? Well, I want to go on to voter fraud and stuff here in a minute, but come on, that will take us into an apocalypse. I mean, end of the story. If she becomes president, it looks like our only choice is apocalypse. As far as Russia goes, eventual war. They're not going to lose. Russia said straight out that they believe in using nuclear weapons as a first strike to de-escalate a war, so you know it's going to become nuclear. So, but then there's the other thing. What will our country look like with her as president?
Oh, the thing about the Clintons is they're very vindictive. They take revenge, and so when she gets the power of the White House, her temper is legendary. It's been well documented. She's been cussing out Secret Service agents and people who are on our protective security detail. This goes back for decades, all the way to when the Clintons were first in the White House, and it went up through when her time as Secretary of State, and even just recently. And so, if she gets the power of the White House, she's going to go after those she considers to be her enemies, and that means Bible-believing Christians, people like you, people like me, you know, churches, you know, people that worked against her to try to keep her from being elected. She knows who those people are, and she's going to go after them. So I think it would be a very bad time for Christians, very bad time for conservatives and patriots and people who believe the Bible and are concerned about where this country is going and have tried to speak out against Hillary Clinton. I fear the revenge is going to be very severe on people like us.
Well, absolutely. And then to top it all off, then and we'll get into it. We've only got a couple of minutes before break, but then to top it off, beyond the vindictiveness of it, look at all the things that they've started, like the transgender things, you know, whether it's in the military or allowing them into the YMCA bathrooms and the school bathrooms and all of that. Those kind of corruptions already, churches are being taken to court across the country, or actually they're doing it to defend themselves because of the same transgender policies. I don't know what kind of a picture this country looks like. I think that Christians like you and I and many others, it would absolutely signal the time of the church going underground, at least here in America.
I completely agree with you, Pastor Dan, and people need to remember there's already one opening on the Supreme Court, and it's being projected the next president might nominate 3 or 4 or 5 members of the Supreme Court. So it basically let Hillary Clinton completely shape the direction of the U.S. Supreme Court, potentially for the next 20, 25 years. Some people are talking about if America had that long, if Hillary Clinton is elected, I don't believe that America has that much longer.
If Hillary Clinton is elected, and I believe that is a complete sign of the beginning of the end of the world. I really do, because all things are going to go away. Anyway, let's talk about where's your blog spot and everything. What can they find there real quick? And we got to go to break.
Yeah, my primary website that I'm known for is the TheEconomicCollapseBlog.com, or if you just go to Google and type The Economic Collapse, it's the first result that comes up. People can also find all my articles gathered in a single place on TheMostImportantNews.com, been recently redesigned and relaunched. And my latest book, The Rapture Verdict, can be found in paperback and for the Kindle on Amazon.com.
All right. Well, folks, look him up. He's got a lot of things. And if you haven't read The Rapture Verdict, you really need to do it. Because if you're believing that you're going to fly out of here before all this trouble happens, I'm sorry. It just doesn't look like it's biblically possible. And we'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice radio program. Now, folks, I will say this is one of the most serious programs. I want you to take this serious that we've been in a while. Well, I believe all the programs are serious, and I do call them programs and not shows, because they're here to teach you and to inform you and to embrace you. It's not a show. It's not for your entertainment. If you're doing it for entertainment, then I think you need to pray. Anyway, at this part of the program, I usually ask for help with the Wichita Mission Church. though with all that's going on with the election, I want to encourage you that these things that you're seeing are out here are of a temporal nature. They're subject to be changed, as your Father is indeed in control of everything. And we're supposed to be like this, like it's recorded in 2 Timothy 1:7, and this is a King James Version. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You must have these things, and you must have faith. So these things you're hearing are not to scare you, but to let you know that you're in the time of the end, which means your King Yeshua is coming after the trouble. And I do say after the trouble. In Luke 21:36, the King James Version also records this: "Watch therefore and pray always, always, folks, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Also in Matthew 24:13, King James Version, it says that he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So you need to pray that you're worthy. That means you need to be serving the King. And, you know, some people say, well, this would be a good place for you to say, well, you serve the King by, you know, serving others. I agree with that. But I want you to serve the others that are around you, because that's what's going to matter. Look at your neighbors. Your neighbors are the ones that you're going to have to bond with. When if everything falls apart, they may save your lives. And so you need to love your neighbors as yourself. Yes, the mission church needs help. Yeah, we need a donation. But that isn't what this is about. What it's about is you need to get ready. Because either way, even if Trump does make it to office, I do believe that we're going to have a lot of trouble in this country. I pray that maybe that he will be. Your folks know that. I've been saying it for a long time. Maybe the Father will give us a reprieve, or, you know, give us a blessing for a little while, give us another chance, so to speak. But I do believe that America is going to have to face her judgment at some time. As I said, she has the blood of, now, officially, she has the blood of the saints on her hands from ISIS. All of those children that have been beheaded and people crucified, those lay at the hands of Hillary Clinton and also at the feet of Barack Obama, which is, Barack Obama is the leader of this country. Hillary Clinton, her too. So those lay at her feet. The blood is all over them. Do you think that the Father will not call for that innocent blood to be repaid? So you need to pray that you're worthy. You need to be caught. When Yeshua comes, you need to be caught serving him, serving the Father, and having that personal relationship. But anyway, moving on, because we want to get to our guest. I don't want to take up Michael's time. But I pray tonight that you do consider praying about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. This means men, women, and even children, and the fit, and the disabled that suffer because of this messed up economy and the crooked people in office. Consider also radio. Are you blessed by these programs? Airtime does cost, and we sell nothing. So while support comes from the Father, are you someone he will use for that? I also ask that you'd share these programs with others. That also helps. I do not, again, I don't want to take up his time. And so remember, we are starting to do a video, but, you know, we don't have the money to just run out and buy the equipment we need. We're waiting on a screen to get here for somebody to donate one, and we need another good computer, and we're waiting on the things that were promised to us, like the video camera and the digital recording board that are supposed to be on their way. But pray for it to happen quick, because we have some very interesting things to do, and we pray that it'll bless you. Remember, we are the last hope for so many. We are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you remember, Remember, if you don't want to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And remember, Thanksgiving's coming up. Pray about supporting Thanksgiving, and if it's a Thanksgiving donation or a radio donation, make sure you mark your donation, Thanksgiving or radio. Otherwise, you can just send it to the general, just send it. Or you can call me if you need to at 620-878-4682. All right, and now we're back with Michael Snyder, if I haven't scared him off.
I'm still here, Pastor Dan.
Well, that's good to hear. You're a good brother. I appreciate you coming on our small program. I mean, no radio program small, I guess, but I was told that. But we don't have the audience of some of the places that you've been going to, which is a blessing. You're getting the message out. You know, you've been on a bunch of programs. And so I want you to know I do appreciate you coming on and talking to our audience. Thank you.
Well, Pastor Dan, thank you for having me on. I'm proud to stand with Pastor Dan, and I'll just encourage people. You know, people have been listening to these radio programs for a long time, and you've never helped out Pastor Dan. I would encourage you to, because if you just listen and consume, you're not participating in the rewards and the blessing of what Pastor Dan is doing with his work with the homeless and everything else. But if, you know, but Pastor Dan can't do what he does without people helping with prayer, with finances, with everything else. And so when you pray, when you help with finances, you're actually participating in the rewards as well that will be given for the good works that are being done. So if you want to participate in the rewards and be part of the team of what Pastor Dan's doing, then, you know, do something, whether it's praying, whether it's finances, whatever it is. But, you know, personally, my wife and I have been helping out and standing with Pastor Dan for many years from across the country where we live. But you know, we're proud to stand with Pastor Dan. I would just encourage everyone to do that as much as possible, because we need many, many more people like Pastor Dan. That is for sure.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. In fact, it's about to choke me up, so I think we better move on before I cry. Hacking. You know, what about all this hacking going on?
Well, Pastor Dan, I'm extremely concerned, and I'll explain why. You know, we've just seen just this week, you know, early voting has started in many states. And down in Texas, people have been reporting on social media that they've gone in to vote, and they've selected a straight Republican ticket. And all the votes stay the same for Republican candidates, except people are reporting that the vote for president is being switched. And so then they go to finalize the vote, and they look on the summary, and it says, okay, all the votes are for Republicans, but for president, instead of Trump, it's actually a vote for Hillary Clinton. And so this has been reported by multiple people in multiple areas of Texas, and so there's a tremendous amount of concern because of what we saw last time around in 2012. There are many people that believe if it had been an honest and fair vote, that Mitt Romney may have won. For example, if you look in Ohio, the key swing state of Ohio, all the experts on the news, they're saying it's all going to come down to Ohio. If Mitt Romney has any chance, it's got to be Ohio. Well, at that time, Fox News reported that people were having the same issue. In fact, one woman told Fox News that she tried three times. She went into the voting machine, and she pressed Mitt Romney, but it came up Barack Obama. And so she tried again, and the same thing happened. Then she tried a third time, and once again, it switched her vote to Barack Obama. And so, and indeed, we saw some really strange vote totals come out of Ohio last time. For example, if you look at Cuyahoga County, and you can go to their website today, the vote totals are still up. Well, in that one county, it's kind of around the Cleveland area, in that one county, there were 16 precincts where Barack Obama got 100% of the vote, Mitt Romney got zero votes. And then, but beyond that, there were over 100 precincts where Barack Obama got 99% of the vote or greater, and Mitt Romney got 1% of the vote or less. So that was 100 precincts in just one county where Barack Obama got 99% or better. And mathematically, that's basically impossible by random chance. But it just wasn't in Ohio. Out in Pennsylvania, another key swing state, in the city of Philadelphia, there were 59 voting divisions where Mitt Romney didn't get a single vote. And when you total all the votes of those 59 voting divisions together, the vote total was Barack Obama, 19,605 votes. Mitt Romney, 0 votes. So once again, by random chance, that's virtually impossible. Down in Florida, another key swing state, Broward County, there are a whole bunch of key precincts down there where Barack Obama got 99% of the vote or better. Or you look out in Colorado, where now it's been documented that dead people have been voting for over a decade in multiple elections. It's a huge scandal out in Colorado. But in 2012, there were 10 counties that had voter registration rates above 100%. Now, theoretically, that's impossible, because if you registered every single person in your county to vote, you could just have a voter registration rate of 100%. But somehow, in 10 counties, the voter registration rate was over 100%.
So, absolutely. And you know what amazes me? And so this happened 4 years ago. Why, if we have such honest, you know, Republicans, per se, why hasn't this been? Why did they just wait till Election Day to investigate these things? Why wasn't something done about it? Because they just don't care?
Well, that was part of the problem. Last Election Day, if you remember, Mitt Romney kind of threw in the towel like almost halfway through the night, you know, when, you know, votes were still being counted. And Mitt Romney said, I give up. I concede the election to Barack Obama. And after that, people didn't really seem to care anymore. That's why on this Election Day, when people go to vote and if they see or hear something strange, they need to report it. And so if it looks like this election is being stolen, we need to scream bloody murder, because if there's one thing we know about Donald Trump, it's that he's not afraid to file lawsuits. And I think there's wisdom in what Donald Trump was saying when he said, oh, you know, I'm not just going to immediately accept the results of the election. Well, if it looks like it's really close and it looks like there's some strange things going on, Donald Trump would be right to contest it because, you know, for example, let's talk about Virginia last time around, another swing state. There was a poll watcher, this lady, and she was there all day, and she told WMAL Radio that she watched as Obama voters were bussed in throughout the day, but she said that many of the exact same voters came to the exact same polling station throughout the day and kept voting over and over and over again, and she saw this with her own eyes, and she told it on the radio and everything else, but nothing seemed to happen. But, you know, we've got all these problems all over the country. For example, in this election cycle, down in Virginia, once again, a student at James Madison University was recently caught registering 19 dead people to vote so that he could vote for Hillary Clinton repeatedly over and over again. You know, and WorldNet Daily just came out with an article where they documented incidents of voter fraud and election fraud in 23 different states. So what's happening, it's real, and we need to make a big issue out of this, because the mainstream media is pretending that it doesn't happen, but it does happen, and if the election is very close, we could potentially see the election stolen from Donald Trump and given to Hillary Clinton, and that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be an unbearable nightmare for the world, but it just may be that's where we're at. You know what I'm saying? It may just be, but let's go with this. So, you know, some schools I noticed on the internet, of course, that some schools across the country are actually closing down because they're expecting violence on voting day. Do you think there's going to be a lot of violence, or any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that is definitely a legitimate concern, Pastor Dan. In fact, there was a survey that just came out this week, and they asked Americans, are you concerned about the possibility of violence on Election Day? And 51%, most Americans said, yeah, we're concerned about violence on Election Day. In fact, 20% were very concerned about that possibility. And so, you know, and of course, we've already started to see violence. Just this week on Wednesday, someone in California, they took a sledgehammer and a pickaxe, and they went and destroyed Donald Trump's star on the Walk of Fame, you know, and this was in broad daylight. Or, in fact, we saw earlier this month someone firebombed the Republican headquarters, you know, and in Orange County, North Carolina, and then on a building next to the headquarters, someone had spray spray painted Nazi Republicans, get out of town or else. So that was a very, very chilling incident. But then also there was an article in Lifeset which had listed a whole series of incidents of Trump supporters being beat up, their cars being vandalized with paint and otherwise. And you know, so there have been attacks. There have been people beat up. And then of course, at Trump rallies, you know, for many months, there's been incidents of violence. And then we found out, thanks to the video that came out not too long ago, that Hillary Clinton and her campaign were actually tied into the people that were paying people to go to Trump rallies and stir up violence and stir up these kind of things. So it goes all back to Hillary Clinton, where they were actually paying activists and paying people to go stir up this violence. So, yeah, I'm very concerned because Americans are more emotionally invested in this campaign than perhaps any campaign we've seen in decades. And emotions are running extremely high on both sides. So I think there's some wisdom in these schools closing on Election Day, because I think the potential for fights, for violence, for all kinds of things is quite high.
Right, right. Well, you know, this whole election just doesn't, I mean, there's so many variables in here, but what do you think about this? Now, we see packed stadiums with people waiting outside, and then, you know, for Donald Trump, and this seems to be the way people are reacting all over the country. When you see these Hillary gatherings, or like, you know, that running mate, he had like 30 people show up, and part of them were, you know, what you call it, reporters and things. So, I mean, are the polls just being, are that far off, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's an open question, Pastor Dan, because just, you know, within the last week, we've had polls which have shown Donald Trump with a 2% lead nationally, and all the way to one poll by the Associated Press showed Hillary Clinton with a 14-point lead nationally. So you go from up 2 for Trump to 14 for Clinton. That's a 16-point swing in the national polls. And we're less than 2 weeks to Election Day. There's no way there should be that kind of swing in the national polls. Now, some polls have been purposely oversampling Democrats, like the ABC News Washington Post poll that came out the other day. They polled 9% more Democrats than Republicans. And never in the last several decades have Democrats enjoyed a 9% registration gap above Republicans. So, you know, there's no reason for that large of an oversampling of Democrats. So, you know, the polls seem to show a very wide disparity. So, but I guess we're going to find out on Election Day if the vote is honest. But so we'll see what's going to happen. Clearly, there's a lot of enthusiasm for Donald Trump. Not very many people are coming to rallies for Hillary Clinton or Tim Kaine, as you said. So that seems to be an indication of a lot of interest in Donald Trump. But the national polls look tough for Trump. But are they honest? We don't know. But the key, Pastor Dan, is to look at the state polls, because at the end of the day, Donald Trump could win the popular vote by 5 million and still lose the election. And so the key will be who can get to 270 electoral votes. And the way the electoral map kind of lays out, unfortunately, it's kind of biased against Republicans. In essence, the way it kind of falls, Democrats kind of have a built-in advantage, and Democrats admit this, Republicans admit this. And so it's going to be tough for Donald Trump. So basically, if I could just take a couple of minutes and go over what Donald Trump
needs
to win. And so if the people watching on election night, these are the keys that people need to watch for to see if Trump is going to win or not. And first of all, what Donald Trump needs to do is he needs to win all the states that Mitt Romney won in 2012. And people might say, well, that should be pretty easy. But actually, there's a couple of states that might be a problem. One is North Carolina, where most of the recent polls actually show Hillary Clinton leading North Carolina, although one that just came out showed Trump with a lead, so that's good news. But he's got to have North Carolina and those 15 electoral votes. Out in the West, Arizona is actually even a bigger problem. where the recent polls have shown Hillary Clinton has surged into the lead. It's usually a reliably red state, but of course Senator John McCain has turned his back on Donald Trump, and Arizona, one really key recent poll showed Hillary Clinton with a 5-point lead in Arizona. So that could be a huge problem. But even if Donald Trump wins all those states that Mitt Romney won, that only gets him to 206 electoral votes. And so then he's going to need to win a series of very close, very hotly contested swing states. One of them is Florida. Florida, there's 29 electoral votes down there. Donald Trump, his own campaign admits that he cannot win without the state of Florida. So if you're watching on election night and Hillary Clinton wins the state of Florida, it's basically all over. You might as well go to bed because Hillary Clinton's going to win. So, and unfortunately, most recent polls have shown Clinton leading in Florida, although just here recently a new poll's come out showing Trump has taken the lead in Florida, so that's very good news for Trump. But Florida is absolutely key. Ohio is also absolutely key this election. Donald Trump has got to have Ohio. No Republican has ever won the presidency without Ohio. And so, and recent polls have shown Trump with a little bit of a lead there. So that could potentially be good news, but he's got to win Ohio. Also, Iowa, the 6 electoral votes. Trump has been leading in Iowa. Good news, but he's got to have it. And then the state of Nevada. Now, there's bad news out there because almost all the recent polls have shown Clinton leading in Nevada. But those 6 electoral votes are key. Now, if Trump wins all of those, that still doesn't get him to 270. Then he's going to have one more state. And we're talking basically looking at 3 states, either Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. Now, Trump seems to have a little bit of momentum in Pennsylvania. All the polls have shown him consistently losing Pennsylvania. But there's a possibility here in the last few days that where he seems to be catching up. So that could be good news, but he's still behind in Pennsylvania. But he's got to have one of those 3 states. Now, if he does all that, that still doesn't mean he wins because of the curious case of Utah. Out in Utah, your listeners may have heard the name Evan McMullen. He was the third-party candidate that was announced as the conservative alternative to Trump, and he kind of was announced, but then he kind of dropped off the radar. Nobody ever heard of him again. And he's not running anywhere strongly except in Utah because it turns out he's a Mormon. And Mormons have kind of gravitated toward this guy. And the plan, basically the plan that they're talking about out in Utah is if McMullen takes Utah and then they can split the vote where neither Clinton or Trump gets the 270 electoral votes, that would throw the election in the House of Representatives, which will still probably be controlled by the Republicans. And then the plan is to say, hey, Republicans, go for this Evan McMullen guy instead of Trump, which a lot of them don't like Trump anyway. And so that's their plan. But in Utah, right now, the polls are showing Evan McMullen running neck and neck with Trump. In fact, one poll had Evan McMullen up by 4 points over Trump. And so there's a possibility that Donald Trump might not win Utah, which could throw a monkey wrench into things. So, as you can see, things are looking really tough in the Electoral College for Trump. It would, in my opinion, it would take a miracle, but, we serve a God of miracles, and miracles are possible. And so people want to win, they need to be in prayer.
Well, and I have heard some encouraging things, not like the fake one I'm sure you've seen about the Amish, but we have been hearing some encouraging things about the Amish actually going to get out and vote, and a huge percent vote for Trump. I just know that the Father's will is going to be done with this. I believe that all Christians should get out and vote and vote for Trump because, faith without works is dead being alone, and we need to get out and do something. We wouldn't be in this position if the evangelical vote, if the Christian voted according to, according to their faith, because they're not voting according to their faith. Well, anyway, tell us where your blog's at again, and we're going to have to get out of here, brother. Thanks for being on.
Oh, absolutely. My primary website is theeconomiccollapseblog.com, or if you just want to go to Google and find it, just type in economic collapse. It'll come right up on your screen. I've also got themostimportantnews.com, where you can find all my articles in a single place, and we have guest articles, too, from other authors and wonderful authors around the Internet. And then if you want to read
television.
Television.
television show.
Oh,
you're
yeah,
on television.
I have a new television show. It's called The Watch. You can watch it on the PTL network, which is Jim Baker's network, or on YouTube. You know, just type in Michael and Miranda Snyder, and it'll take you to our YouTube channel where you can watch all of our episodes of our television show. And then, of course, my latest book, The Rapture Verdict, is available on Amazon.com.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye and be blessed, brother. We'll talk again soon, I hope. Anyway, be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Michael Snyder. Well, you know, election's going to be something, but if the Father wants him in office, it's going to happen. Either way, you need to be prayed up and have that special relationship. Pray for the Wichita Mission Church and pray for radio. You must remember, though, there is only one God. He is your Father. He loves you as your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because there will never be peace until he returns, and whether for Jerusalem or the whole world. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, that you would bless them and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.